You guys are amazing. I say it every time, but man, I love hearing you guys. You guys are awesome. Good morning, Christ Church. Good morning. Woo, there we go. There's a warm welcome for me. How's everybody doing this beautiful, awesome morning? Man, I just want to give an extended thanks to our pastor, our campus pastor, Katie, for allowing me to come up here and to share a message with you guys. Because here's the thing. I love coming over Brooklyn. Like, I love coming here because, A, it's a beautiful campus. B, you got beautiful people. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get amens out of you guys. I don't know if you guys are listening, but no, listen, I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to share a message. But before I begin, I want to give an extended thank you to all the first, second, or third time guests being here. Man, we're just happy that you're here. You know, we believe here at Christ Church. You don't have to believe in what we believe to belong here. We're just glad you're here. And we're glad that we get to share our Sunday morning with you. We're glad we get to get to do life with you and grow in relationship. And if at all you feel connected to the message or the service, stop by our Connection Center. They'll be more than happy to get you connected in the best way. Amen. So this week and actually this morning, our theme is prayer. And, you know, I call prayer the glue to our relationship with God. But what we want to try to do today is we want to try to see prayer in the right perspective. Because when we have the right perspective, our prayer life or our connection with God, it can be strengthened. It can have influence. It can be powerful. And I want to try to do that just a little bit today because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe prayer changes things. I believe prayer gets us to know God in a deeper way, and that influences us and inspires us to be people that he has called us to be. Before I begin, let me go ahead and say a quick prayer. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, you are gracious, kind. My hope is in you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you have called me as your son. I'm thankful that you have called your sons and your daughters here in this service, right here, right now, to be here just to listen to what you want them to hear. Father, right now I pray that your message, that your word would come forth and it would penetrate the hearts of us right now, to the believer, to the non-believer, to the skeptic, whoever may be in this room. But I just pray that you would speak to them. And I pray that it would go forward, that it wouldn't just stay here, but it would go forward into our lives and it would create the change that we need. And Father, I pray that again, this service today just will be glorifying to you. I pray it'll be glorifying to your son. And also, Lord, I just want to say thank you for allowing the Cleveland Browns to finally get a win. Your word is deep and powerful. Thank you, Baker Mayfield, for president. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can pray about anything, okay? So speaking of sports, you know, growing up for me, sports was a dominating part of my life. My brothers and I, it was three of us, we all loved to play ball, basketball, football. I even ran a little bit of track back in my day, but I love sports, and sports was a big part of my life. Part of the reason why I love playing sports was two things. Number one, the competitive nature. I don't know if you know, church, I'm a competitive guy. My wife's not here to hear me to explain this, but a half of our fights is because I'm so competitive. Like, my wife needs to know, like, she didn't marry like an average Joe. She married like a elite type of guy. And I love just, you know, trying to win, trying to be my best, and trying to come on top. No matter what it is, I can be playing cards. I can be trying to guess whatever it may be. I always love coming on top. That's just who I am, and that's just a part of my nature. But also, I love sports because I love going out there and giving my all or giving my best, as some people would say. Pretty much, I love performing well. I mean, I believe every athlete or every person always wants that. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, oh, I want to play bad today. But I love going out and I love performing well. I love going out there and showing off my skill, you know, scoring the game winner, you know, having people cheer me on, leading the team to victory. That's just what I love about sports. So one day when I was in high school, there was this rivalry game. It was my first time participating in it. It was this basketball rivalry game that we had. It was across town, about 5 miles away. And it was an important game. An important game, and we had to win. I mean, we had to win. It was for bragging rights and all of the above. We had to win this game. And because the game was so important, I was nervous. like super nervous to the point where I felt like I was going to throw up. That's how nervous I was. And so because I grew anxious and because I was nervous, you know what I decided to do? I decided, you know what? I'm just going to pray about this, right? I'm just going to pray and I'm just going to ask God to help me perform well. And I never forget my prayer. Like, I promise you, my prayer was super selfish. This is how I said it. I was like, God, please help me. Like, I want to score 30 points today. I want to win the game winner. Like, help me, help this, da-da-da-da. Just give me this, give me that. Oh, and also help us win. Peace. Literally, that's how my prayer went. And I just remember just praying that prayer. And I went out, and yes, I performed well. I did amazing. As a matter of fact, people were cheering my name, Jehovah, Jehovah, and they carried me off the court. All of these great things. I'm not lying to you. I mean, it's me. So, but here's the reason why I tell you this story, because what I took back from that moment and from that situation was that if I am ever in need, I'm just going to ask God. If I ever need help in my life, I'm just going to pray about it. But here's the thing, I built my faith, and I'm afraid that a lot of us have done this in this room today. I built my faith based on what God does for me. Amen. I built my faith based off what God does for me. God is only needed when life gets a little bit heated. I didn't mean to rhyme by saying that. God only comes out when things get a little bit tough. And the only time I would approach him is when life gets a little bit stressful, when life gets a little bit overwhelming, when things get a little bit chaotic in my life. I only think, okay, that's when I'll call on God. See, maybe you're like me where, you know, you just want to have great health and great wealth and you want to prosper. You want to have great things. You want to do great things. You want to have a successful career, successful in your relationships, whatever it may be. But the moment you and I realize that we're stuck, the moment you and I realize that we're lost, the moment you and I realize that we're without, some of us are groomed to say to ourselves, just pray about it. Now, I know a lot of us are sitting in this room today saying, duh, like, that's what you do. That's what Christians do. Like, life is hard, call on God, like duh. But for me, God was only needed when I needed him. God was only needed when I needed him. And the only time I spoke to God is when life just got a little bit hard in my life. And I built my faith and I built my prayer life just only approaching God with the things that I need, with the things that I want him to do, with the things that I want him to accomplish in my life. And I've noticed that, and if you lived a little while, and if you've been a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, or maybe you tried to pray about something, and you prayed over and over, and you realize what you prayed for is not happening. And it comes to one point in each and every one of our lives, and I don't care who you are in this room, comes one point in our lives, some of us are gonna ask this one question, why God? Why, God? Why? I mean, you said this and you said that. Your word says this and the preacher said that and the small group said this. But why? Why have you answered what I asked you to do? Get to the point where we start to see, we say to ourselves, where is God in all of this? But what if I told you that you didn't exactly have faith in God? But what if I told you, rather, your faith was in a result? You see what I'm getting at a little bit today? You see where I'm trying to engage at? Our faith was not in who God was, it's in what God does. And I believe that's why the reason why we get this whole prayer life in reverse is because we're focusing on what he does for me, what he'll give me. I live my life through give me, 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 give me. Give me this and give me that. Have this and I'll have that. See, a lot of the reason why we lose our faith, the reason why people have this imperfect faith is because they have this immature belief that God will answer every prayer that you utter. And it comes to the point where one day when that doesn't happen, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Is that going to distract your idea of God? See, the central point of my relationship with Christ, it's not him answering everything that I asked him to do. The central point of my relationship and our relationship in our prayer life is not only going to God when we think it's on our time. Because God is all about your faith. Faith is a big deal when it comes to God. Faith is a big, big deal when it comes to Him. But our faith isn't developed, and our faith isn't proven, and our faith doesn't grow by Him answering everything that you ask for. See, what I want to do today, again, is shift our focus and shift our perspective by understanding this. I want to connect to Christ in what He wants me to do rather than what I want Him to do. You see the reverse? Because God's not after your comfort. God's not after your comfort. He's after your character. Let me say that again. He's not after your comfort. I know you want this, and I know you want that. I know you want this amount of money. I know you want to live in this place. I know you want to be married this time. I know you want to have children. I know you want this disease to go away. I know this, and I know that, but God's not after your comfort. He's after your character. And that's the reason why I think we get this prayer thing mixed up. The moment we get ourselves into a situation, we think only God is needed in that moment. But God is needed in every part of my life because He's worried about my heart, not about my situation. And that's what I want to try to do today. Believe me, I believe that when things get tough, yes, we should pray to God. When things get hard, when things are out of our control, when our kids are going crazy, when our marriage is in this situation, when our jobs are at risk, I believe that we should always come to God, right? The Bible is very clear when it says that. The Bible says, cast your fears onto Him because He cares for you. I believe in that, but some of us cast our fears, but we're still holding on to it. We're still holding on to it. But what I want to do today is have this perspective that I want us to have a prayer life of God working on your heart. Of God working on you before anything else. Because here's the thing, you may think your situation needs change, but God is saying you're the one that needs change. You're the one that needs change. And I want to go to scripture today because I want us to know that my relationship, my prayer life with Christ is becoming more like Him. It's becoming more like Him because this image of me is not working. This image of Jovan, it's not working. The image of you, it's not working. But that's why Christ wants you to be like Him. I want to go to the text today. I really want to dig out this point because I believe Jesus gives an accurate description of what this looks like and what we can live by in our weeks. Because again, I know life is hard for us. I know life is tough for a lot of us. I know we're all sitting in this room today trying to think how we're going to get to Monday and how we're going to get to Tuesday. But God is worried about how your heart is going to be on those days, not where you are going to be. So I want to go to the scripture today, and I want to look at a reading in the scripture called the book of Mark. Mark is found in the New Testament, which is in the Bible. There's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is the second gospel that we see. A gospel is nothing but the life of Jesus and his and what he did and what he's accomplished. And in this reading, what we're going to see is, again, that Jesus' concerns is about what's going on in each and every one of us. See, I believe that a lot of us are so focused on what we can see, but Jesus is more focused on what we can't see. You see what I'm getting at? We're so focused on what we can see. He's more focused on what we can't see. And He wants to reveal that to each and every one of us. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 21. But before I begin, I want to give a little bit of clarity to help us understand why we're trying to dig a little bit into this verse today. So the way that Mark chapter 8 picks up is Jesus performed this miraculous miracle, where some of you may have heard in VBS school or Bible study, wherever it may be. Jesus performed this miracle where He feeds 4,000 people. 4,000 people with only like 7 loaves of bread and only a few fish. It was crazy. Literally, here is Jesus feeding 4,000, and that was only counting the men. That wasn't counting the women or the children. And Jesus feeds 4,000 people. He prays over it. He breaks the bread, and it's this miraculous miracle. His disciples, His followers, they're there to see Him do that. What's helpful to know, just quickly about that story, is to always know that Jesus knows when you and I are hungry. He'll never leave us in that hunger state. He will nourish us in every season. Jesus looks at this crowd and He says, man, they need to eat. They have no food. And He makes sure as they eat. Believe me, Jesus will make sure you eat. He will make sure you're well fed. He will make sure everything that you need will be met. And that's what this story is trying to accomplish. And so, and then that's one part of the narrative. But again, then this gets to this next part of the narrative in verses 11 to 12. Right when we see this, this is where these guys called the Pharisees, I'll call them a bunch of haters. They hated on Jesus everywhere that he went. They pretty much tried to tell Jesus this. They tried to tell Jesus to do that. They were nothing but these religious leaders. They believed in the same God. They just believed in following him in a different type of way. And they were adamant about that. And they hated the way Jesus went about his business, went about his ministry. And so they come up to Jesus and they challenge him. They challenge him and they try to get him to explain why he did what he did and all of this. But one thing I can realize is when I read that passage, sometimes I can be a Pharisee in my own life because I think God only exists to meet my expectations and my needs. Sometimes I think God is only here planted on this earth and in heaven to meet what I want him to do. That's where the Pharisees are at. And so Jesus ignores them, says a quick little thing, and then he walks away. So now this is where we're going to pick up in our reading for today. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 21. Jesus is with his disciples, and they're getting into this boat. And it reads like this. Now they being the disciples, now they had forgotten to bring bread. They'd forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. So the way the story goes is they get into the boat and they realize, I ain't got no bread. Like, where's my bread? Where are we going to get bread from? Right? And they're just, I don't know what's going on, but they realize quickly what they don't have. And Jesus perceiving and knowing their thoughts, because you got to realize this, Jesus was a man, but he is God, and he knows what we're thinking even before we think it, even before we say it. Jesus knew that they didn't have bread, but he wasn't worried about the bread. He was worried about something else. He wanted to speak to them that had bread in its metaphoric way. Look what he says, verse 15. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven Pharisees and the leaven of the Herod. So Jesus is pretty much trying to tell them, listen, I want you guys to be on guard for something that you need to be on guard with in your life. But verse 16 is where it blows me away. Look what it says. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. They ignored Jesus. They ignored Jesus. Their minds were so trapped on their limitations. Their minds were so trapped on worries of life. Their minds were so stuck on what's happening right here, right now. They skipped everything Jesus was trying to say. Kind of like us. And Jesus asked them, and he wants them to know, in verse 16, why are you discussing with one another you don't have bread? Why are you discussing with one another? The closer translation, if you actually look at this, Jesus wants them to know, why are you concerned with you don't have? I love that translation. Why are you concerned of what you don't have in your life? See, I believe that we all can have concerns, but there's this thing called being obsessed with our issues and with our situations. Some of us are overly concerned about what's going on in our lives. And that comes to the point where that's all that we think about. All we think about is our worries. All we think about is our circumstances. All we think about is this is going to get better or if that's going to get better. And that's where the disciples are at in this situation. And Jesus is saying, it's not about bread. It's not about what you don't have. It's not about what you lack. So much to the point where they missed what Jesus was trying to say. Not too long ago, I was speaking to with a young man who was going through this horrible divorce, and I got to speaking with him, and the one thing he said to me that really stood out, and when he said this, my head was down my whole entire marriage. I missed that my wife was trying to have us to have the healthiest marriage that we could, but I was so stuck in another area that I missed the whole point. And sadly, church, that's us today. Sadly, I know that things get hard in life, and I know that things get weary. I know that we get so distracted by all these things. But it comes to the point where sometimes I got to realize my concerns are not God's concerns. My concerns that I have in my life, they're not God's concerns. Have you ever thought that maybe the thing that you're so worried about, God's not too worried about? You ever thought that about that in your life? Maybe the things that you think needs to happen, God's like, that's not a big deal. We're worried about that later. You want to know why? Because God is more worried about something that's going on inside of you. And that's what Jesus is at right here. We're going to discover and realize what he's trying to say. The things that we're so concerned with, why are you concerned? Let me ask you a question today. What are you concerned about today? What are you concerned about right now? What are the heavy concerns that you have in your marriage, in your job, in your family, in your health, in your wealth, whatever it may be? What are the concerns you have? Have you ever gotten to the point where you just say, I'm gonna let God be God and let him handle God things? Have you ever gotten to your point in your faith where you say to yourself, worrying is a waste of my time. It's a waste of my energy. It's a waste of my breath, because Jesus isn't worried about them not having bread. So why am I worried about not having bread? My concerns are not God's concerns. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The things that we think we need to continue to worry about, God is like, it's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of that. But let's talk about you. Jesus quickly moves into a counseling session right here. Look at verse 17. Once again, Jesus, aware of this, that they had no bread, he was trying to get them to understand, why are you discussing that you don't have bread? Why are you so concerned of what you don't have? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? The real concern is the lacking in our hearts. Jesus is trying to give them a lesson. Again, God's not worried about your comfort. He's worried about your character. What Christ wants to teach you is sometimes better than what he wants to give you. What Jesus wants to teach you about you is better than what sometimes he wants to give you. Maybe what Christ wants to teach you will help you appreciate what he gives you. Maybe that's just maybe. This is just me speaking. There is something in each and every one of us that needs to be worked on. And if you don't think that today, you're lying to yourself. You really need worked on. And Christ is way more invested in speaking to that. Jesus is way more invested in the condition of your heart than your external affairs. See, I want your prayer life. I want your life with Christ. I want your relationship with Christ to be built on coming to God and asking him to show something that is deep and dark inside of you rather than going to him with your complaints. Because sometimes I get always caught up in my prayer life saying, God, do this, God, do that, God, do this, God, do that. All right, love you, bye. And then I never extend my thank you to him. I never extend my man, you know, there is something that is deep within me. Show me what needs to come out. But sometimes I'm just always in the mode, give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. You know why I want us to understand this and why Jesus tells them this? Because only Christ can show you something you can't figure out on your own. Only Christ can show you something that you can't figure it out on your own. Maybe God isn't interested in removing your circumstance. Maybe he's interested in removing your destructive behavior. Maybe God wants to speak to your anger today. Maybe God wants to speak to the things that you're doing that is ruining every aspect of your life, that is pushing your spouse away, that is pushing your friends away, that is giving you a bad reputation in your workplace, that is pushing everything away in your life. Maybe God wants to speak to that before he gives you. Because that's what I believe in my life. I can get everything God gives me and still be a jerk. I can have the wealth, I can have a six-figure pay, I can have all that, I can have all the dazzle and razzle, but I can still be a jerk. God says, I'm not worried about your razzle and dazzle. I'm worried about what's going on in here. Maybe God doesn't want to move your circumstance. Maybe he wants you to humble yourself. You know, there's one thing that I learned in my marriage that works. All those who are married, I haven't been married long, but this works. Even if you're just relationship, learning to say, I'm sorry. It is the hardest thing to do. Learning to say, I'm sorry. Because sometimes you got to get to a point where when you say, I'm sorry, that's when you're saying, listen, I'm not above you. I'm not above you. I'm not above my opinions. What I think is right is not above you. And maybe God wants you to humble yourself. We all have moments where we have to humble ourselves. The thing about it is it's just hard to react on it. And maybe that's what he wants to do with you and me today. Maybe God wants to speak to your selfish ways. Maybe your selfishness is ruining everything. Maybe God wants you to get your mind off you. What about this? Maybe God doesn't want to remove your circumstance, but what if he wants to release you from something you've been holding on tight to? Some of us know how to say, I'm sorry, but some of us don't know how to forgive. There are some things that you and I cannot make progress on if you and I do not forgive others for. When you can't forgive somebody for the abuse, the way they treated you, the way you were treated unfairly at this place in your life and that place in your life, maybe you can't see progress because you're not freeing yourself in your situation. Real freedom is letting go. What do you need to let go today? What is something in your life that you really need to let go of? Something maybe that your parents did. Maybe it's something that your spouse did or your ex-spouse, whatever it may be. What is something you need to let go of today? Because when you hold on to that, you allow life to drag you in that type of direction, you never really have control. Because your fear and that abuse has the control. Maybe God wants to release that. Maybe God isn't interested in removing your circumstance. Maybe this. Maybe he wants to remind you because you've been in your life. You've been in these things. You've lost your way. You don't like yourself. You hate yourself. You're depressed. You're lonely. Maybe God wants you to be reminded who you are in him. Maybe God just wants to tell you, listen, I love you. You're going through life in every part of your life. You're going through your life trying to get this, but you don't like yourself. But I need you to know that your love starts with me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Meaning greater is the love Christ has for me than anybody else has for me. My wife can try to love me. She can't reach the way Christ can love me. And sometimes God needs to remind each and every one of us that we're loved. That you belong and that you're cared for, that he's pleased with you, good and faithful servant. You are my son, you are my daughter. In you, I am well pleased. Sometimes he wants to ignite that type of love inside of each and every one of us. Because I believe that some of us get so enamored with worried, we lose ourselves. We lose our identity. We lose who we belong to. We start to think that we should live our lives in this way. God has said, no, I love you so much. Live it in this way. Because he's after your heart. Maybe he doesn't want to remove your circumstance, but he wants you to know who you are in him. My relationship with Christ, catch this. My relationship with Jesus, my prayer life, is not based on what I get out of him, but what he gets out of me. I want him to work on my heart before anything else. I want him to work on my character before he removes my situation. Because I believe each and every one of us need change. I believe each and every one of us need to see change in our lives. Because real change brings real progress. You want a better marriage? Change. You want to treat your children better? Change. You want to have a better experience at work? Change. But it starts with Christ. Asking him, before I ask you to do anything for me, before I ask you to remove this and remove that, can you please look deep inside? Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Psalms 139. Search me. Why do I act the way that I do? Why do I treat this person this way? Why do I feel like alcohol is the only way to cure this? That drugs and doing this and sex and all, why do I feel that the only way for me to feel pleasure and to feel loved and feel liked? Because what you get out of you helps you to see your destiny. what you get out of you helps you to see your destiny. Jesus gets on and he's trying to get them to understand in verse 15, what is the real lesson he's trying to give? There's actually two of them we can see. What's the real lesson? Look at verse 15 once again. Jesus tried to tell them to beware and be on watch. Check your heart. Check what's going on inside. Don't let with the corruption, the leaven in this verse, what it's representing, it's representing sin, it's representing hypocrisy, it's representing things that start on the inside. That's what Jesus is speaking to. He's trying to speak on the inside. Well, they're so concerned on the outside. It doesn't work. That's why we're frustrated, because our concerns are in this direction. His concerns are in that direction. What direction are you going to choose today? Jesus tries to give them the lesson that it starts in your heart. Then he continues on and he tries to clear up and helps them to understand what's going on. Jesus continues this message and he says, why are you asking and thinking about bread? Jesus goes on and he says, did you not see me when I fed the 4,000? He goes on, he says, did you not see me also when I fed the 5,000? Little did you know, Jesus fed like 10,000 people with a little bread and little fish. A couple chapters before, you can read all about it. Jesus fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people with little bread and little fish. What he wants them to know is to understand that his faithfulness is revealed in looking back on what he brought you out of. My relationship with God is built on what he's done for me. Because what he's done for me helps me to understand he's going to do it for me. If he fed the 5,000 disciples, what makes you think he won't feed you? If he did it with little bread, what makes you think he won't feed you? If he took you out of that season, what makes you think he won't take you out of this season? That's the lesson he's trying to give. So don't be concerned about those little things. Don't be so concerned about your health. Because if I did it then I'll do it again. That's the faithfulness of God. But it has to get to a point where I have to say to myself, I might not be where I want to be. I might not be as healthy as I want to be. I might not have the relationships that I want to have. I might not be where I want to be. But thanks be to God, I'm not where I used to be. You see this lesson in this? I may not have the situation work out the way that I wanted it to, but I know that he's at work inside of me. But also he's at work inside of you as well. One of my favorite verses for us to understand is to look at is in Romans chapter 8, verses 18. It says this, for I am convinced that the sufferings of this present time, that the circumstance that you're in the middle of, that cancer that just will not go away, that horrible abuse that you will not let go, I'm convinced that the sufferings of this present time are not even compared to the glory that will be revealed in the future. My future is in God's hands. My character is in my hands right now. See what I'm getting at? God's got my future. He's got the plans that he has for me. He's going to take me places. He's going to do something inside of each and every one of us. But the way you handle your character is up to you. So what are you going to choose today? Are you going to choose to continue to look at your scars and choose to continue to look at your pain? Are you going to choose to continue to look at what things you just cannot control? Because you got to remember, Jesus' death was to help us to be reminded that not to look at the scars that we take on, but the scars that he took on. So what are you going to do today? See, my challenge is for each and every one of us is to approach God to work on our hearts, to work on us. Not on that person, not on this or that, but on me. Because that's real prayer. Because my life with him is about what he gets out of me. Because there are some things that need to get out right here, right now. And I know there's some things in your life that needs to get out right here and right now. And that's speaking to every part of our lives, addiction, complaining, gossip, anger, everything must come out. Don't concern your things that God's not so concerned about. Because the passage reminds us, if he fed the 5,000, what makes you think you won't be fed? Again, God's worried about our hearts. Our future is in his hand, but your character is in yours. Let me say a quick prayer. Father, I come to you humbled and thankful for this message that just reminds me, and it reminds a lot of us today, that we got some work to do. I pray that the message wouldn't just be some message that they just forget about in the next couple minutes or the next few hours, but it would be a message that's lived out on Monday, a message that's lived out on Tuesday, a message that's lived out on Wednesday, and all a part of our lives. And I just pray that we can be people who are solely invested on what you want to do inside of us. I pray that that's our prayer today, because I know there's change that needs to be made. Because when you create the change, it actually breaks the chains. When you create the change, God, it breaks the chains. So right now I glory in your presence. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, the Holy One, the Risen One, seated at the right hand, Son of God, the undefeated one, the one who is at work in our hearts. I pray that people would take this right here, right now, and apply this to their lives. I love you, Father. I love you so much. Be at work. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen. Amen.